It wouldn't be about, for example, regressive psychotherapy.
No.
And it wouldn't be about looking at how the past affects the present, even though you might do, I don't know, some educative therapy in those, say, 12 sessions, which might look at how the past affects the present and different coping mechanisms. It'd be much more specifically focused on one or two particular aspects of change.
Yeah.
We demystify what goes on behind the therapy room door. Join us on this voyage of discovery and co-creative conversations. This is the Therapy Show, Behind Closed Doors podcast with Bob Cook and Jackie Jones.
Welcome back to episode 67 of the Therapy Show with myself, Jackie Jones, and the wonderful Bob Cook. And in this episode, we're going to be looking at short-term versus long-term therapy.
Yes,
that's is there such a thing as short-term therapy?
What a great podcast then, because, you know, I do all the assessments and still do at the Institute, even though I've sort of semi-retired. I do all those assessments. I always say, if I had to do a percentage of, say, out of 10, I would say probably at least 7 or 8. That's quite a high percentage, isn't it? Of them will ask the question, how long do you think it will take?
Yeah.
And I always say, you know, well, how long's a piece of string? So it's a good podcast we're going to have about the advantages and disadvantages of short-term psychotherapy. And I think we'll have a good discussion.
Yeah, me too. It's one of those things that, well, I always contract right at the very beginning that they'll come for at least 4 weeks, that for at least a month. And then we'll reassess where we are after that first month.
Mm.
And the only time I've ever done short term was when I was training, and they kind of come in for a designated period. So it's contracted that I will see them for X amount of weeks. But other than that, there's a few exceptions, but the majority have been long term.
That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, in the NHS, in the United Kingdom anyway, the preferred therapy, if you want to call it a therapy, and some people might not, is CBT.
Yeah.
And if you kind of get a CBT therapist in the NHS, and with all the cuts, it's not so easy. People go on lists. I think the average time given would be 12 sessions.
Yeah.
Which is short term.
Yeah.
And a lot of the insurance companies will designate maybe 6 to 8 sessions. So it's very important for people listening to this to look at their insurances, by their health insurances, by the way. So a lot of insurance companies will only pay for that. And that's short term again. So a lot of therapy, which is designated through different health providers, and NHS, of course, the biggest, is short-term therapy.
Yeah.
Which is a completely different ball game. Completely different ball game to the idea of long-term therapy. And then the other question is, what constitutes long-term psychotherapy as opposed to short-term psychotherapy, which is a really interesting question. And according to, I think, the therapist you asked that question to will be determining the answer. So if you asked it to me, because when I say, well, I'm a long-term relational integrative psychotherapist, and the person says, what do you mean by long-term? I will say at least a minimum of 12 months.
Yeah.
But more likely a minimum of 2 years. Nearly always answered that way. And before I retired, if you looked at my practice of probably about 15 to 20 clients, the average would probably be 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
So I very much term myself as a long-term psychotherapist. And if we say for this podcast, minimum 1 year.
Yeah. Because it's the psychotherapy bit for me.
Mm.
You know, if it's coaching, it's even counselling, then that's more likely to be short term in my eyes. Whereas when you're talking about psychotherapy, I always think of it as long term.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because especially in today's economic market.
Yeah.
Of course, what I haven't said, of course, is that it's weekly therapy. So yeah. It's minimum 1 year, weekly.
52 sessions.
And most qualified therapists are going to charge a maximum of £60, probably. A minimum of £60, probably, if they're qualified and been around a bit. And some of them are like myself, and I kept the prices down because of my belief systems, you're going up a lot more in price.
Yeah.
So in today's economic world, unfortunately, it may take a lot of people out of the equation.
Yeah.
So I did have sliding scales, and I did try to accommodate economic situations. Still, it's important to bear in mind. However, for some people who have been so personally traumatized, it becomes priceless.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And it is, it's how much you're willing to invest in yourself. Yeah.
So I'm just finishing off interviewing people for the 4-year training psychotherapy in, you know, the Institute. And we've been quite inundated this year if people want to retrain in that career. And it's a UKCP training. So in other words, the Institute's an accrediting training organisation of the UKCP. We're audited by the UKCP. And they put down criteria that we have to follow, and which I agree with, what I'm going to talk about now. And it's a 4-year psychotherapy training program. And the UKCP say that there has to be at least 160 hours of personal psychotherapy. And that's 40 hours a year.
Yeah.
Take away Christmas, take away Easter, winter once a week.
Yeah.
So if you're going to retrain as a psychotherapist, the UKCP, the major regulating body in this country for psychotherapy, are saying that you have to do 4 years, which is once
personal therapy. Yeah.
Which of course is expensive itself. But behind that, you have to know yourself so you don't merge with your clients. So it's imperative, not only for yourself personally, I think, but professionally, if you're going to choose that career.
Yeah.
So they recognize, that's what I'm saying, the UKCP.
The importance.
Recognize the importance of long-term psychotherapy.
Yeah.
And as I say, I try and make allowances for economic situations, but it will cut out economically a lot of people, unfortunately, because as I said, if there's been heavy trauma, then long-term psychotherapy is really a must and is priceless.
Yeah. Which is probably, you know, when you're looking at the cost of training, you know, that potentially could be the reason why people choose counselling rather than psychotherapy.
Well, now you're taking me down a real road here, aren't you? Because I don't know if that's correct or not, but people who go down the road of counselling, for whatever reasons, there's be a lot of different types of reasons. One of them is, of course, and I don't know if it is a reason why people choose counselling, but you aren't designated by the major regulating body in this country, which is the British Association of Counselling and Psychotherapy. They don't ask for any personal hours at all.
Yeah.
Now, most counselling courses of their, you know, worth their salt anyway, will probably require them to have some, but usually it's often only over 4 years. They don't do 4-year courses, probably 3-year courses.
Yeah.
It's only usually 20 hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know what I think about that. I certainly don't think it's enough.
No. And you know, when I know we're going down a different route now, this is long-term versus short-term, the topic of this. But when you look at the cost of training as a psychotherapist, you know, the difference in an hour's counselling or coaching or psychotherapy reflects the training that you've had to do over 4 years and the cost of that and the supervision and the ongoing, you know, continuous professional development that the majority of psychotherapists do throughout their career.
Yes, so you're right, it's not really off the road because clients will come in and I say, say they've had, a lot of trauma, deep trauma. And I believe for us to work healthily and really get to a place where a person can function here and now in a healthy way, you need at least a year or 2 years psychotherapy once a week. Now, you know, for most people of that type of specialism, we're talking about quite a lot of money monthly.
Yeah.
So we are in the area of people who perhaps, what are they left with? So they go, you know, perhaps they can go to the NHS or and then it's just really specialised in CBT. They might do what is called dialogical behavioural therapy, but that's a pretty long waiting list. So it's a whole area of discussion where economics plays a really, unfortunately, Jackie, plays a really big part to play.
Yeah. So how would you go about doing short-term therapy then? Is it structured different to long-term?
Yeah, very different.
Yeah.
So there's a book by Keith Tudor. I mean, we're transactional analysts. I mean, I've gone on to train in relational integrative psychotherapy because my basic training is in transactional analysis. There's a book by Keith Tudor, which I quite like, which came out about 10 years ago, which I think it's called It's called Brief Psychotherapy by Keith Tudor and T-U-D-O-R. And there's a lot of chapters in that book from well-known TA therapists, actually, talking about how they would do TA in a brief way. And actually, I haven't read it for about 4 years, but what I do want to say about that is that they all would state, I'd have to go back to read the book, but I'm sure they would, that one of the really important prerequisites about brief psychotherapy is the contract.
Yeah.
And secondly, that it's very specific.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking then, that it needs to be specific and have an end goal and a definite route to that, as opposed to being, you know, adaptable and free
to move
around. And yeah, an open-ended contract, definitely.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be about, for example, regressive psychotherapy.
No.
And it wouldn't be about looking at how the past affects the present, even though you might do, I don't know, some educative therapy in those, say, 12 sessions, which might look at how the past affects the present and different coping mechanisms. It'd be much more specifically focused on one or two particular aspects of change.
Yeah.
In the here and now.
Yeah. And solution focused rather than exploring.
Yeah, very much so, very much so. So, you know, how to stop smoking, for example.
Yeah.
Or much more specific, like you've just said, solution focused.
Yeah, and specific outcomes to it, yeah, which are measurable. That's why the NHS usually uses CBT, because they say it's measurable. You answer a questionnaire when you first go, and you answer one when you're finished, and then they can measure whether it's working or not.
Yeah, and you've got all these different diagnostic methods like CORE-9, ICD-9, DSM-4, whichever way you want to look at it, whether CORE-9 or is it CORE-10 or even CORE-11 now, where they do what you've just said and put the answers to the questionnaires on the computer, and they, after every session, you fill in a computer process and a whole... So at the end of the 12 sessions, whatever it is, you can match how you've gone along behaviourally and see the outcomes. So there's a whole structure around it. So that's very, very different animal to long-term psychotherapy with a relational integrative psychotherapist, for example, or perhaps even from another discipline, which goes very much developmentally into a person's past and looks for where the deficits are there and where the trauma is, and looks at the healing from a past developmental position rather than staying in the here and now and looking for behavioural outcomes.
And that word relational as well, you know, when you're in therapy long term, it is, you know, the relationship, the therapeutic relationship plays a big part in it, which I would imagine if it's short term and solution focused and structured, there's not really enough room to build that relationship.
Yeah, and there's not a focus on it.
No, yeah. Yeah.
And you won't, there will not be much of a focus on what in psychodynamic or long-term, but, you know, processes, transference or counter-transference. There won't be a focus on that in this short-term psychotherapy.
Yeah.
It's much more a focus on, you know, change of, you know, behavioral focuses.
Yeah.
In the here and now. So if I took you to a short-term CBT therapist, you'd be doing mood diaries.
Yeah.
Or, you know, how things have changed week to week in terms of thought patterns or things which are very solution focused.
Yeah, unhelpful thinking styles is one that you look at, the different ways that we think about things. Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're not useful, they're just, it's a very different structure. That's like the word you used earlier on, a different structure and a different focus in the two therapies.
Yeah. And, you know, I sound like I'm very skewed towards the long term, but that's because that's what I, you know, I was trained in and that's what I do. But for some people, short term therapy is enough and it's what they want. You know, if they're leading busy lives and they can schedule it in once a week for 8 to 12 weeks and that's it, and it is solution focused and it's moving in the right direction, that's brilliant.
And money comes into it in a big
way. Yeah.
And you're right, and also change can happen, I think.
Yeah.
In 12 sessions.
Yeah.
If you never talk to anybody at all about some of your unhealthy patterns or things which are causing you real difficulties in life in terms of mental health, talking to somebody for 3 months in itself can be extraordinarily helpful.
Yeah, because, you know, I've had one client quite a few years ago that came for 4 weeks and totally transformed her life.
Yeah, snap.
Like I said, that's the one that sticks out for me. You know, it wasn't the intention. She didn't come for short-term therapy. But after 4 weeks, she had literally taken on board everything and got so much from it and completely turned things around.
And they've developed, I suspect, different coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
And also on the same level, short-term therapy, and I'll put that in inverted commas here, can often be the bridge to long-term therapy.
Yeah.
So somebody came in for assessment, I think about 4 weeks ago, and I said, have you had any therapy or counseling? She said, yes, 20 years ago. I said, wow. And she said, it was the most wonderful thing I ever did. And I said, how many sessions did you have? She had 6 sessions. But she said it changed her life because she never talked about these things, which had hurt her so much. And she never experienced a kind person before.
Oh, wow.
And that stuck in her mind and gave her the impetus to come back after all these years to take this further. Now, 20 years might seem a long time, and it certainly is at one level, but another level, psychological time and real time isn't the same thing.
No, definitely. Yeah. Sometimes I think I'm still living 20 years ago when I realize it's 2022. It's like, wow, where did those 20 years go? So yeah, I can imagine. And it is, if it's a good experience, if somebody leaves after 4 or 6 weeks with a good experience, it just stays with them.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I've just told you there has happened many times, maybe not 20 years ago, but they say, you know, 5 years ago, I managed to talk to somebody and they were very kind to me. And I've always remembered that. And that's been the motivation to come back at this particular time when things are in this phase of my life are particularly difficult.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. You know, having short-term therapy, life throws us a curveball. So what you went for originally for the therapy isn't necessarily what you would go for again, because, you know, marriage, divorce, death, it's always out there. And sometimes people just need that safe space to talk to somebody.
Oh, I think 100% that is. Yeah. That's really so true, that people have different phases in their lives. They have different curveballs in your life. And also, as they've got older, the discomfort gets higher, because the defences get more weaker in terms of vulnerability. And they get to a place in their life where it becomes more of a survival level. And also people say to me, I'm now 40 or 50, I've got more money, different phase in my life, and I would like to take it further.
Yeah.
So I think short-term therapy can be very useful and can be a bridge to, you know, if it goes right.
Yes, yeah.
Now, of course, if it goes wrong, we've got another story.
Yeah. Yeah. And that to me is where the relational part of long-term therapy comes into it, because you would, you know, talk about that in the therapy room. Whereas, you know, with short-term therapy, I've got it in my head that there's no space for the relationship because it's fast-paced. You know, you've got a plan, I would imagine, in every session that you're doing. This is what we need to cover. Yeah. This is where we're going.
I think you're right in terms of the relationship's not the focus.
Yeah.
But when I think of the people who say to me, you know, what I remembered about those four sessions or those 10 sessions, it's the kindness therapy showed. It can also remember the relational aspect, even though it was short term. And it might not have been focused on, but it stayed in the mind of the person.
Yeah, which is the important thing. The client is the focus of it. Yeah. And as long as they're getting what they need from it, then who are we to judge what they need?
No, and... Another aspect of this I'd just like to bring in is that, and I've heard this so many times from people, I do an assessment with somebody who talks about tremendous trauma in their history, or they present in a fairly chaotic way, and obviously you can see some earlier disturbance. And I say to them, and it's usually to the question from how long do you think I've been in therapy? And I say, well, with your level of trauma and what happened to you and how you're presenting, this isn't going to be short term, it's more likely to be a year.
Yeah.
Quite often, you know, Jackie, the person says, well, I actually know that.
Yeah.
They know that the level of trauma, the level of confusion, the difficulties which they're talking about, they know that that won't be resolved in 10 sessions.
Yeah.
So that often the people themselves know what they want.
Yeah. And there are those people, you know, I'm an ex-foster carer, and I know for a fact that one of the children that we had was very reluctant to go back and look at the things.
Oh, well, yes, yeah.
You know, so some people don't want to, they know that the past is impacting and affecting their present, but it's not somewhere where they want to go back to relive or to explore or experience or anything. It's in a box and it's shut, and I'm not saying at some point that won't change, but there are people that are fearful of looking at the trauma.
I think there's a lot of people, and then there's some people who really know for survival reasons that they have to do that.
Yeah
And you can't really do that in 6 sessions.
No
10 sessions, and the person knows themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, the importance of going back and dealing with the trauma and debriefing that, you know, and unpacking that, and some people obviously don't want to do that, but there's many people know they have to do that, takes time, and necessarily so. It's a slow process. Otherwise, the person may get overwhelmed and never come back again.
Yeah.
So that's that style of therapy. And I think there's a lot in that for helping people who've been particularly disturbed in life, or even haven't, in the sense of helping the person reflect and develop emotional literacy so they're able to, you know, look at different things in their lives and get to understand themselves and all that we're talking about here. Now, if you're going to train to be a professional therapist, you need to do that. And I don't get this many through my institute, I must say, because I suppose because it's a psychotherapy institute, and maybe they think of therapy as more in depth than counseling. But so I don't often get many of these type of people who only want 10 sessions because they've come to me. If I thought it only was going to take 6 to 10 sessions, I would say that.
Yeah.
And I'd point them to a therapist with that actual contract, if you like, that the person's coming for 12 sessions. They only want to specifically look at this, that they want these behavioral changes and they don't want to have long-term therapy. Are you able to take this person on board?
Yeah.
So that then would determine the contract.
Yes, yeah.
So the contract needs to be transparent and really clear.
Yeah. And the contract is vital. Because I have had clients in the past that literally just want to come once a week to offload.
Yes, yeah.
They're not looking to work on anything. It's just a safe space where they can talk about work, family relationships, whatever's happened in the 7 days, and literally offload, go away, and are quite happy till the next week when they come back and they want to offload again.
That's true. And one caveat in this is to not discount yourself. See, I think people, your answer is correct, but it needs to be to the specific person.
Yes, yes.
And that's where relational psychotherapy comes in.
Yeah.
It can't just be with anyone.
No, and I'm not saying that we didn't do some work in that, but their initial contract was just to... Yeah.
Contract's the important thing.
Yeah, to come in and to talk with somebody that knows nothing about their life, doesn't judge, doesn't have an opinion, and they can...
a safe person.
Yeah, just talk about anything for 50 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. So while I said that, I'm not saying you do this, Jackie, at all, but I know that many therapists do what I'm going to say. They discount their importance to that person in the relationship.
Yeah.
Clients don't necessarily talk to anyone.
No, no.
They talk to people they trust. They talk to people they feel safe with. They talk to people who can come from a place which is non-judgmental.
And it needs to be a good fit, whether it's short-term or long-term. It needs to be a good fit between the client and the therapist, yeah.
I like what you said about a review to see how the person's getting on as they get along. And yes, they may come for short-term psychotherapy, which is much more specific, much more solution-focused, much more behavioural. And that's fine as well, but as long as the person knows what they've signed up for.
Yeah, yeah. See, I like, you know, the way that I do it, because it was how I was trained, is that, you know, you can recontract, because often what the client comes for originally isn't necessarily what comes up in the sessions. And I find it, you know, really important that we recontract every so often to see whether this is still, you know, what they want to be doing.
No, I certainly agree with the sort of longer term contracts, like you've just said, and being reviewed and sessional agreements as well.
Yeah.
It has that level of transparency, and also people know what they're signing up to.
Yeah.
And I think one of the accusations often thrown at long-term psychotherapists is, as Aki was talking about here, that the therapy just goes on and on and on and on, and there's no contract, if you like.
Yeah. That's the criticism that I've heard from certain people that I've come across in my career that do hypnotism and, you know, NLP and things like that, is that, you know, we don't actually, I want to use the word cure people, because that was what they do, you know, and it's just ongoing emptying of a bank account and not actually achieving anything. And it's like, well, you've never had therapy then.
Yeah.
You've not experienced the changes that take place in a therapy room.
Absolutely correct. And those types of people often feel threatened, by the way.
Yeah.
And those types of people, you know, may have a good point in the terms of that the therapist hasn't, may not been transparent and hasn't had contracts and isn't working towards positive change and all things we're talking about. But it is a criticism often thrown at long-term psychotherapists. So I do think it's important for long-term therapists to have reviews and contracts and work within the relationship towards positive growth, which is talked out between the two of you.
Yeah.
And not just going on.
Yeah.
With any type of spelt out goal between the two of you.
Yeah. And I like the word that you've used throughout this, which is transparent. You know, it needs to be transparent, that the client can talk openly about how it's going and whether they want to continue. And, you know, talking about short term or long term, the ending of therapy, I think, is really important as well. That it's
very much so.
That's contracted and, you know, transparent as well. Yeah.
I would not be a very good short-term therapist.
I don't think I would.
Because I was trained in long-term. I don't know. I've never gone down that road. So it's probably a bit discounted myself to say that. However, I'm very happy I chose the road of a long-term relational psychotherapist. I think it demands that you've done a lot of psychotherapy yourself.
Yeah.
It demands a lot of aspects and differences than, say, short-term psychotherapy. However, I'm glad I've gone down that road. And then I've talked to many people, by the way, there's CBT therapists, if you want to call them therapists. I think it's an odd word because we'd have to talk about what therapy is. But anyway, we'll say, you know, CBT therapists or people that offer short-term insurances or whatever it is, who really are pleased that they have been short-term psychotherapists because they don't want to, you know, go down the road of looking at regression and countertransference and transference, and they're happy to focus on behavioral solution focused, where they can see behavioral change quicker.
Yeah.
So I didn't go that way, but there are many people who did, and I think there are advantages, as I said throughout the early part of this podcast. And you know, people choose that route, and for me, that's fine. And if they then go on to look at other things, that's fine as well.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, you said you'd experienced it, and I certainly experienced it, that, you know, some clients do come in with a view to long-term, and after 4 or 6 weeks, they've got everything they want from it and are quite happy to end at that point. So, you know, I always say you're not signing your life away.
It's really, you know what I mean?
It's not signing in blood and you've got to stay for 2 years or anything.
And that's very refreshing to hear, because it's very important that the therapist respects the autonomy of the person in front of them and says, that's fine. I'm glad you've got what you've got. And if you ever want to come back, that's fine also.
Yeah. And some of my clients have. They've ended, and then 2 years down the line, they've got back in touch again and something else has happened. And can I come back again? Which is absolutely fine. Yeah.
So that type of transparency, respect, sense of integrity for the autonomy of the client is so important in our work, whether it's short term or long term.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it needs to be said, I've not experienced counselling, so I can't say, but you know, there's an awful lot of therapy takes place outside of the therapy room.
Oh,
it's not just the 50 minutes that, you know, we spend together. There's a kind of osmosis that happens the rest of the time.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Brilliant. So we'll end it there.
I think it's a good place to end it. And I could go on talking about this for another half hour, but It's a good place to end with the respect, I think, and autonomy of the client in front of you as a barometer for change.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. But I wouldn't change the psychotherapy that I've been trained in.
No, that's a path I took, and other people take other paths, and they do They
fantastic jobs, yeah.
Difficult job as anyone else.
Yeah.
I know short-time therapists do a fantastic job. So it's horses for courses, and as long as we respect the autonomy of the person in front of us, then that's really the barometer for our professional careers, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, until next time, Bob. We're going to be looking at habits a therapist needs to cultivate to enhance the therapy.
Yeah, and you know something? I was talking to somebody who's been a therapist for 30 years about 20 minutes ago, and she said, what habits?
Yeah, what habits?
I said, you know, those things that you do every day with your clients, which enhance the relationship and build up the relationship. Oh, and then she listed off about 20. So, yes, I'm looking forward to discussing that.
Okay, until next time, Bob.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Therapy Show, Behind Closed Doors podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. We'll be back next week with another episode.